Okay. So the series for the next 4 weeks, so normally Ride 13 and I switch off. This one will just be me, and then Ride 13 will be back for the next one because of just November and December are crazy months. So that's how the breakup of responsibilities went. So a sort of overarching topic that's interested me for a while is the varying ways in which communication technology affects halacha. Because when you think about it, our world is so radically different for so many reasons, from the world that Chazal lived in, that Rishonim lived in, or even they lived in 100 years ago. And we've dealt with some of these topics at different points, you know, whether it be electricity, whether it be, you know, whatever it might be. But one of the sort of overarching changes in the last few hundred years has been the development of communication technology, from the telegraph to the telephone to cell phones to email to Twitter to whatever. And these have implications in vastly different areas of halacha. So we're going to see today is a relatively local one, but one that had serious implications in Psak in terms of Gittin. But as we'll see in a few weeks, it has implications in terms of Agunot. There is a presumption in Chazal that, or I should say the opposite. In Chazal, there is an assumption that if a husband goes missing, he might still be alive, and there's no reason to assume that if you haven't heard from him, that means he's that means he's dead, because it was really hard to communicate. So if someone went on a ship for business, and then you know he was going thousands of miles away, if you don't hear from him, that doesn't mean he's dead. It could mean he got stranded on some desert island somewhere. But the question became in modern poskim, and not just modern poskim, it slowly developed, what happens nowadays? If a husband disappears and there's no reason to assume that he ran away from his wife, and you don't hear from him for weeks, can you presume that if he didn't get back to the wife, that he's dead? Or do you have to assume that he's running away? And that was changed to the communication technology, and that I called, I think, the 9/11 aguna, because that question was one of the questions that the poskim dealt with in the, I think it was 19 cases that they dealt with, or 17, whatever it was, of agunot in the 9/11, during the 9/11 aftermath. The whole book was published by the RCA with the tshuva, and that was one of the questions there. Next week we'll deal with questions of tzniut, right? Issues, whether it be of visual tzniut problems or kolisha over microphones, radios, Skype. Is there a difference if it's live, not live, right? Intentional, not intentional. All these things, and then, you know, there's a variety of others. We'll talk, I think, in 2 weeks on can you be yotze dvarim shebikdusha, right? There was a suggestion a few years ago of creating Skype minyanim for people who are traveling. Is there any validity to that? Can you, if you're away, can you be motzi someone's obligations in havdalah by phone, right? Would Skype be different if you can see them, right? Does it depend on the type of phone? Does it, you know, all those questions. So whether you're talking about Gittin, you're talking about Agunot, you're talking about Sneed, you're talking about davening, all these issues have been affected by this fundamental change. And it's not even, you know, it's not just that we have communication technology. The rapid pace of change has changed the assumptions of poskim. We could do the same thing on travel, right? Travel is a similar area, right? You know, you think about the Gemara, where the Gemara says that you can't be yotze bishayara within 3 days of Shabbos, right? You can't begin traveling within 3 days of Shabbos, because then it's as if you're asking for Chol Shabbos, because you couldn't get anywhere in 3 days. So if you leave within 3 days, you're just asking for Chol Shabbos. Now, you could be going from here to Australia, right? As long as you give yourself 24 hours, you'll be on the other end of the earth, because of, right? And poskim have to deal with this type of question. And then, you know, obviously it affects issues like, you know, what about Vitein Talum Matar Levracha, right? If you start in one country and you end in a, right, you travel to another, Svirasa Omer, right? All these types of travel, communication, they affect every area of our life. So what I wanted to do was take four, not really unrelated, but halachic topics from different areas of halacha and try to show how the advent of communication technology has influenced it. So today, what we're going to do is a question from Gittin. I called it the video conference get. But here's the background. I gave you from the first sources from Rabbi Jachter, Rabbi Howard Jachter, Rabbi Chaim Jachter, an article that he wrote in the Journal of Contemporary Halacha. or Halacha in Contemporary Society, I think, asking, okay, well, what, before we even get to video conference, the question came up with telephone. In what case would we want to use a telephone for a get? What do we even mean? So he said a telephone can be useful in executing a get in a situation where a written appointment of the scribe and witness cannot be obtained. Examples of this situation include, one, a get must be performed in short order, and there's no time for three observant Jews to go to the husband and obtain a written appointment of the scribe and witnesses. Two, a husband's located in a remote or dangerous area where three observant Jews would be unable to enter. Three, a husband is situated in a country that would not permit three observant Jews to enter. Or four, a husband refuses to sign a document authorizing a scribe and witness to write and sign a get, but will issue a verbal appointment. Now, what are we even talking about? Right? Those are just cases, but what is the halachic issue here? So the halachic issue is something called tzivui habal. In Gittin, we have a unique requirement that in order to write a get, it's not just enough that the husband wants a get to be written for his wife. He has to directly issue a command to the scribe, to the sofer, to the witnesses to write and execute the get. And without that, the get is invalid. Now that creates problems, as the Rejachter notes. Well, okay, fine. In a classic divorce case, right? It's a sad situation, but the husband comes in. Right? The classic case of get, we have two types of classic get. One is called, in sort of common parlance, omed ve, in Besdin parlance anyways, omed ve omedes, right? Which is where the husband and the wife come into court together. The husband says to the sofer and says to the Edom, I appoint you to write the get. He gives them the quill, he gives them the ink, he gives them the parchment. The sofer goes into another room, he writes the get, and then the husband hands it to, right, he says to the witnesses, you be my witnesses, and he hands the get, actually doesn't hand the get, he actually drops the get in her hands. The wife actually holds her hands like this, right, and he drops it in, which is one of the ironies of Gittin. The halacha is that he has to give it into her hand, but we're worried that if he actually hands it into her hand, she might pull it, and then she would be taking it, and he wouldn't be giving it, so instead of handing it, we drop it. But that's omed ve'omedes. Then there's what's called an omed, which is where the parties don't want to see each other, or one of them has traveled, but the husband can still come into Beis Din. So he comes in, same procedure, but he then appoints the Beis Din, he appoints a shliach, to a messenger to give the get to his wife. But in terms of the writing of the get, it's the same. But sometimes the husband doesn't want to come in, right? Because, for a host of reasons, he's vindictive, so he doesn't want to schlep. Right, he said, look, I'm willing to give a get, but I'm not going out of my way. I'm not fighting the traffic to get to the court. It's downtown. It's not worth my time. Or often, one of the parties, the wife, let's say, has become more religious and wants a get, and the husband doesn't believe in the whole thing. Right? You know, they were, when they got married, they were secular. They were not religious. The wife now wants to move on and wants a get, and the husband doesn't want to give the get. Or he just doesn't believe in it, so he's not willing to extend himself. But if you tell him, look, pick up the phone to give the Beis Din permission to write the get, or get on Skype and tell the Beis Din you can write a get, he'll be like, fine, I don't care. Right? I'll take 5 minutes, but I'm not going out of my way. Sometimes, as Ray Jachter noted, the husband's in a dangerous area. Right? It's not always a cynical case. Sometimes the husband is stranded in Russia, right? You know, Soviet Russia, and they can't manage to get the husband out, but they can manage to smuggle somebody in who can get to a phone and tell him, this is what you have to do, can call up the Beis Din, right, and give his wife a get because he doesn't think he'll ever get out. His wife managed to smuggle out, he didn't manage to smuggle out, or whatever the case may be, or someone is, you know, captured, and they're not the, you know, by who knows whatever, they're not willing to release him from prison, from captivity, but they will allow him a phone call, they'll allow him a Skype meeting, right? All types of cases where he might want to allow the husband to issue this command to write the get, to free his wife from this unfortunate situation without him being there. So the halachic background starts in number two. The Gemara in Gittin tells you, Kasav sofer lishma v'chasvu edin lishma. If the scribe writes the get for the right reason, and the witnesses sign it for the right reason, even if they write it and they sign it and they give it to him and he gives it to her, aria get batel. That's not enough. The get is invalid. Ad sheyishmu kolo sheyomar lesofer ksov uleidim chasomu, until they hear the husband say, write, right? The scribe has to hear write, and the witnesses have to hear sign. Right? They have to hear it from the husband. And Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is number 3. Lo yichtevenu asofer velo yichtemo ba'edim ad sheyomer lehem abal lechtov velechtov. The scribe and the witnesses cannot be involved in the process until the husband tells them, write and sign. Ulechaitchila yomer lesofer lefneidim. And when he tells the scribe, lichatchila, right, ab initio, that should be in front of witnesses. And not only do they have to hear from the husband, once they hear from the husband, it's not, they can't then say, oh, well, we heard it from the husband, we can now delegate. They can't delegate. They have to do it. Even if he turns to the court and says, fine, give a get to my wife. Lo yomru l'sofer lichtov l'edim lachtom. The court can't now delegate. V'afil amr lehem imru l'sofer. Even if he says to the bezdin, tell the sofer v'yichtov, and he'll write it. V'le'edim v'yachtomu. Lo yichtov asofer v'lo yichtemu ha'edim asher mishum l'piv. It doesn't work unless the sofer and the witnesses hear from the husband. The Rama says aver v'girsha yidei omer imru l'sofer v'yichtov ha'visafet migureshet. If it's a case where he actually said to the Bezdin, tell the sofer to write it, so there is a suffix whether that counts, right? That indirect conveyance of his will works, and therefore she's suffix migresha, but lechatchila you're supposed to say it directly. Now why is there this principle? So there's basically two main positions in Rishonim. Tosfos quotes both of them. One is that for some reason by Gittin there is a unique requirement of shlichut, right? It's not just enough that the husband that the witnesses and the scribe know, the sofer know, that the husband wants to write a get. He needs to actually be involved in the process halachically, and therefore he needs to tell them so that there is shlichut. So there's official agency from halachic perspective. The other possibility is that by Gittin we have a unique requirement of lishma, that a get has to be written for the right reason, right? For its own sake, which means l'shem, right? Isha, for the divorce of this woman, l'shem gerushin, right? The purpose, right? What we end up telling the husband is tell the sofer that it should be written l'shmo u'lishma u'lishem gerushin, that with the intent that the husband, that the get is written for this husband, for this wife, and for the purpose of divorce. So those two possibilities are raised by Tosfos in number 4, right? First possibility is lishma, right? Lav mishum shlichot. This is not agency. El mishum dikshalotziva abal lo chashiv lishma. If the husband doesn't say I want this get, it's not lishma. It's not for the right reasons. El chashiv stama. It's considered a generic get. Upasol. A generic get doesn't work. Diisha lav legerushin kaima, because a married woman is not, there's no presumption, legal presumption, that she will get divorced. And therefore, a generic get doesn't work. You need to imbue it with the power to divorce, as it were. The odor, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, but the Ri disagrees. Etc. etc. But Nakat Ovid Kochavim Lari Busta the Afabishun Bendas Yosef who had the Khirish for showed the Vakatan was done Iba in Shlichos. Rabbi Yitzchak, I won't get into all of the details of what he's talking about here, suggests that maybe this is Shlichot. Now if you skip for a moment to 6, I gave you an article from Rav Asaf Bednarsh. But my Rabbeim always used to say Ruchenstein, Zakharn Lavracha, and all his Talmidim, Rabbi Bednarsh is among them. Suggested the reason by Gittin specifically we have a unique requirement of tzivui habal, this sort of enhanced agency or this enhanced lishma, is because Reb Lochemstein suggested there's two ways of understanding a get. Right, one is to say that a get is just the legal document that solidifies the divorce. The other way of viewing it is that the get in some way is meant to embody the divorce itself, not just like the legal component, but the existential component, right? Like, if you read the psukim say, "Ki kach ish isha uvayla usneya," and a man marries a woman and then he ends up hating her, right? So he wants to divorce her, right? The pasuk emphasizes the fact that there is an emotional background to a get. So Lochemstein suggested that why do you have this sort of intensified lishma by Gittin? Because a get isn't meant to just be the legal document. It's somehow meant to capture, right? The husband is You know, this is a tragic moment, as the Gemara says, the Mizbeach is mortal of demot, the Mizbeach cries, and the husband, it's an expression of the end of a relationship, and he's ending it through the get, and that somehow has to be encapsulated in this document. Somehow he needs to put that emotion into legal terms, into legal paper, and therefore we make him, right? It's not just enough that a get is written, he needs to sort of put himself into it and say, I really, really mean it. I want you to do this. The Adim, the Sofer, everybody. So you look at 6, or Ben Ezra says, this is not normal agency. Shlichur is a status. We give the agent the power to fulfill a certain task. But Gittin is different. It's not that the... It can't be that the sofer, he's not divorcing your wife for you. That can't be. The husband, so to speak, is the one writing the get through the sofer. This is not normal agency. Practically, yes, he appointed someone. But it's not really It's the sofer is writing on, not as the agent of, but on behalf of the husband. And therefore we find that the appointment requirements for this agency are unique and more stringent than everything in the Torah. In certain ways it's also more lenient because it's unique, it's a different type of shlichus. Rav Moshe Feinstein, number 5, to go back to the source before this, has a totally different theory. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. Maybe we'll come back to it because it will be important later. He has a radical thesis, and it goes like this. Normally, in court, we require 2 witnesses. And there's a special decree, exeris hakazah, that the Torah says that once you have 2 witnesses, nothing can ever override 2 witnesses. 2 witnesses is the ultimate proof in court. However, the Gemara says that in the case of psulei edus, when you have invalid witnesses, and therefore they can't be functioning in the context of Bezdin, but there are certain contexts where we accept them, the halacha is that then, if you have more witnesses, it's better. So when there's formal testimony, if you have 2 on one side and 100 on the other side, they're equivalent. But by psulei edus, cases where we accept invalid witnesses, without getting to the details, it matters how many people there are. Based on that, Rav Moshe argues that this whole notion that 2 witnesses is the ultimate proof in Torah is a formality in Beis Din. But it's not actually true to our experience. So outside of Beis Din, outside of formal context in court, meaning where it's not the judges who are being called on to believe, a person can decide, I don't believe 2 witnesses. He can say, look, I understand there's 2 witnesses, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't have to believe you. Only a court is bound by the rules of Eidos. And therefore, he says, you know why you need Sivui Habal? Because the Sofer and the Eidim need to know that the husband told them to write the get. And let's say a third party says, well, the husband told us to tell you to write the get. They don't have to believe them. Only a court would have to believe them. But since the get, right, is... Right, the Beis Din isn't the one writing it, the Beis Din is overseeing it. But the Sofer is the one writing it, and the Edim are the one signing on it. They are not actually members of the court. And since they're not members of the court, they don't have to believe the witnesses. And since they need to know that the husband wants the get, the only way that they can know is actually not through testimony, is through the husband himself. And therefore, Moshe says, that's why we have these high standards. But ironically, he says, what would happen if the husband wouldn't send a messenger, but instead he would write a letter? And the witnesses would recognize his handwriting, or could even do handwriting comparison, and they could then come to the conclusion on their own accord that the husband had demanded that they write a get. He says, in that case, they could write the get, and that would work. Because it's not about formalities. It's about, did they become convinced independently, or did they depend on somebody else? So if it's a handwriting comparison, even though that at certain level is less intense proof than witnesses, it's more direct, right? Because they've come to the conclusion themselves. So that's why Rav Moshe thinks, and that position we will come back to. So that's the background to this, is that there is this unique, right? Whatever the lamdus is behind it, there is this unique requirement by Gittin that the husband directly communicate to the witnesses and the sofer that they write the get. And so, like I said, what happens, and this happened a lot, is, okay, well, classically, the only way to do this was for the husband to show up and tell the sofer and tell the edim, I want you to write a get. But that created a lot of problems, because what if the husband was stuck in the middle of nowhere or refused to show up in Beis Din? There was nothing you could do. But then, right, so first, the first sort of breach in this already appears in the Gemara, which was Biksav. Right? Before we get to communication technology, there is an old communication technology, right, called writing. Right? This is also communication technology of sorts. It was invented at some point, the alphabet, right? At some point, that did happen. So that's the first shaila, right? Before you get to telephones and video conference, you got to ask the question, okay, well, what if the husband wrote, right? Does that work? So we already saw that Moshe entertains it, but let's see the source of that. So number 7, the Gemara in Gittin says as follows, Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav, Cheresh Shiachol Daber Mitoch HaKsav. Right, here is not a letter, but this is where a deaf mute shows up in court, wants you to divorce his wife, and but he can't verbalize, so he writes it down. Kosvenos and get li ishto. You, on that basis, you can issue a get. Amar of Yosef, Maika Mashmalon. What are you teaching me? Tanina nishtatik v'amru lo nichtav get li ishto chavirchen birosho. We have a Mishnah like that if someone becomes mute and he comes into court and we ask him, do you want us to write a get for your wife? And he nods his head. We check 3 times to make sure that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't just bobbing his head, right? We ensure that he actually is saying yes. Im amar alav lav al hain hain. Right? So on that basis, you're allowed to give a get. So don't you see that it's not about verbalizing it, it's about communicating. So amar leir b'zero, ilam kamar, are you asking me about a mute? Shiny ilam, a mute person is different. Tanya midaber ve'eino shomea, zeu cheresh shomea ve'eino midaber, zeu ilam. V'zeh v'zeh, harein kipikchen l'chol divrayim. So that's different. Because the if someone is just mute, but he's not deaf, so he's considered to have full knowledge. Now, in this Gemara, what happened? It started off by saying that a cheresh is allowed to communicate his will through writing. But then the Gemara said, well, that's obvious because we're talking about something else. We're talking about where he nodded his head. So the Rishonim debate, well, what happened in stage 2? Did the Gemara in stage 2 accept that did the Gemara say, well, in conclusion, you're actually allowed to communicate your desire to issue a get through writing? Right? Or was the Gemara rejecting it? Right? When the Gemara said, well, he can nod his head, that was, he can nod his head because that's quasi-verbal or something like that, but writing actually wouldn't work. I mean, was there a rejection or not? And that's a machlok, as Rishonim, it depends a bit on girsa issues in the Gemara, but I didn't want to get bogged down in it. But if you look in Shulchan Aruch in 8, you'll see that whether or not there was a rejection of this notion of writing is a machlok as Rishonim, both brought in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu kasev v'ksav yado l'sofer yichdav leidim sheyachdomu lo yichdav v'lo yichdav v'lat sheyishmu v'piv." So he passes like the Rambam, who saw in this Gemara rejection, said, "No, you can't communicate through writing. Bein shu pikeach, bein shu nishtatek, bein shu medar, bein shu meh, bein shu meh v'lo medar. You can never do it through writing." V'yesh machshirin v'mishin nishtatek yichdav l'achdom al piksav yado sheyichdav l'sofer yichdav leidim chasomu sheyda. And some say it's mutter. And that's based on whether you saw in this Gemara a rejection or not. Yeah?
Aren't a lot of these stipulations put in an act in order to discourage divorce?
So some of these are in to discourage divorce, and we do a lot of that, both formally and informally. Right? A lot of Batei Dinim have their own requirements. So yeah, this one seems like not, right? Or I mean, maybe it is. I can't, you know, maybe that's why God put in all these you know, limitations. But this one, the Gemara assumes is Delraisa, right? So maybe that's the Tama Mitzvah Delraisa, but it's not. There are rabbinic decrees that go in that direction. This is not one of them, right? It may be a biblical decree in that, so to speak, in that direction, but the Gemara at least never entertains it in this case. In other cases, it does. So how do we paskin? So the Beis Shmuel notes that this is a machlokes plukta to talia besugi dafayin beis shirle le Rambam the shiny chirish den shomena venu medavra mishtatik venu mare le chirish on mishtatik. Right? He notes that this is a machlokes, as I said. The halacha, if you just look at the end after the ellipsis, he notes the shilta giborim writes at safik migureshet. And then he quotes the name of the Radach, the Makom Igun Yesh Lahakel Vitzarach Iyun. He said, the consensus of Poskim basically is that if you need to, we'll allow you to do it. If this is the only way to do it, so Makom Igun we're going to be making. I gave you the summary from a Jachter in 10. He writes, almost all halachic, great halachic authorities of the past 2 centuries have ruled leniently in cases where it would otherwise be impossible to obtain a get on behalf of the wife. Generally speaking, these authorities either adopted the approach of the Maharam Bibrisk, who said it was fine, or ruled that a written appointment is valid if no viable alternative exists. A small minority of decisors do not accept the use of this procedure, even in the most dire circumstances. These include Prichadash and Chazon Ish. However, Elazar Waldenberg of the Beit Din HaGadol of Yerushalayim notes that virtually all Batik Din in Israel permit an authorization in writing in case of very urgent need, and Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, the head of both the Beis Din of the Rabbinical Council of America and the Beis Din of Chicago, report that generally speaking, that this is also the practice of Batik Din in North America. This author adds that this is especially true in a situation where it's highly doubtful that the couple's marriage was halachically valid, such as when the couple married only in a civil ceremony. So while there are poskim who are machmir, most poskim either think that it's always fine or think it's fine b'makom igun. And as he said, the last point is a lot of these divorces where we have a trouble is where one of them became more from later, and therefore, it's not clear they either it was civil marriage, and therefore, it's not clear they needed divorce at all, or it was even a non-orthodox marriage, where, again, we try to get a get l'chumra, but whenever it's a get l'chumra, so the get is already l'chumra, so once the get's l'chumra, so then we're more willing, especially if it's makom igun, and it's only get l'chumra, or there's at least another sniff l'hakel, we're willing to be makel. That's, as he said, the practice of but they did in Israel, America. I didn't get a chance to check in Canada, but I assume it's true. We'll see. I actually got not just Canada. One of the central players in this was actually from this building. We'll see that in number 15 in a minute. But we'll get to that. Yeah.
Does the person need to be there when he writes it? Or do you need to see him writing?
So.
Part of your technology, right? Email.
Right. Writing would be, assuming, again, you there's the secondary problem of proving. Right, that he was the one who wrote it, but
you see other people.
Right, or whatever you do, exactly. Right, he wouldn't have to be there. Right, if Ksiva is accepted, now there is, as we'll see, the verification problem. Well, you know what? I'll say it right now. One of the problems with Ksiva is this fundamental problem: does Ksiva work? The second problem is the verification problem. Right now, for both of those reasons. So in the end of the 19th century and starting in the 20th century, Poskim started asking, well, we have a good solution. What about a telephone? Because a telephone solves both problems. One is it allows someone to communicate from a far distance but with immediacy that you don't have with a letter. And two, it is harder to forge a voice than it is a letter. So can we solve it? Correct. And that's, as we'll see, one of the questions, okay, well, how do we do this? Now, it's one thing, let's say it was a husband who got captured, right? So then everybody knows him, and so then that's easy. But let's say it's someone where you don't know, right? Or, as we'll see, sometimes, now let me throw in some of the other shilas that came up, right? We saw four of them, but there were other ones. Let's say what happened often in America in the early years, this is less true now, but there were non-expert rabbis, you know, who went out to be the rabbi in God knows where in the Midwest. Not the expert rabbi, the person who you know, had a, you know, not necessarily a big Talmud Chacham, someone who was good at strengthening communities out in the middle of nowhere. But he ended up being de facto the Mashkiach and the person building the Eruv and the Rosh Hav Bezd and everything. But most of these people knew their limits and said, well, I can't write a get. I have no idea what I'm doing with getting, but I'm the only rabbi for 700 miles. Right? So what am I supposed to do? So what they would say is, okay, well, how about we set up an ad hoc Bezdin, where we'll call the Bezdin in New York and we'll have them issue a get and send it back to us, right? I don't know how to write a get. We'll send it back. You tell us what to do and we'll verify that it's the husband. We know you don't know the husband, but, right, maybe the head of the Bezdin in New York knows the head of the Bezdin in Des Moines, right? And he'll call up and say, look, this is the husband. It really is the husband, right? Can you have that sort of ad hoc Bezdin Des Moines act as the conduit for this husband to get the Bezdin New York to believe him, that he is talking, and then have the sofer write it, and then mail the get back, and then the husband will hand it to the wife, right? Does that work? Right? There were all types of cases, and telephones opened up this possibility. So does that work? So the poskim said, well, first question got to ask is, okay, when we say the husband needs to tell the Edim and the Sofer, does that mean like they need to hear it from, is this a question of a formal halacha that they need to hear his voice? Or is this a question of direct, right, directness? Which is it? If it's a question of directness, a phone might help you. If it's some formal halacha of dibur, so maybe a phone won't work. So that's machlokas, Ramban and Ra'a. So the Ramban in number 11 says, "Ve'en lechad said heter lomar la'achirim lechtov ela shomeav mipiv hu yechtov." The Ramban seems to say that it needs to be, you need to hear his voice. The Ra'a says, "Ra'azal quoted by the Ra'an Talmidu hikshelav dimkens v'leil Rabbi Yosi dafil manash leach mevurushal b'vana patzul beget mina yadei the time of the Rabbi Yosi mishum demilo mimshal shleach dilma time of the Rabbi Yosi mishum debay sheyishma mibiv mamish." Okay, there's a whole complexity here. But the Ra'a says, look, you don't have to hear from him direct. You don't have to hear his voice. You need to be sure he said it. That's all. Right? You need to be sure he said it. That's why you need it. So, if you think that, like the Ramban, it's direct, so maybe a phone doesn't work, right? How do you view a phone? Is that his voice, or is that some, you know, electric reconstruction of his voice? According to the Ra'a, it would seem like it would be fine, assuming you could solve the corroboration issue. The Piskei Tshuva in number 13 had a solution. He said, well, let's say you need to write a get through writing, right? You need to appoint a shliach through writing. He said, what I'll do is I'll add two things together. One, you write the letter and send a shliach to tell the sofer that you want him to write. Because then, right, according to the Ra'a, you're allowed to send a shliach to sell somebody else, right? Now, how that differentiates from the case before where you're not allowed to. So he says, well, it depends. If you tell, if it's clear that the husband, right, the way they're understands it is, when the Gemara said you can't tell the Bezdin to tell, and then the Sofer, sorry, and then the Bezdin can't tell the Sofer to write, that's only if he told the Bezdin of their own volition, chose to pass it on. But if the husband said, I appoint you to tell him, right, so then, right, that's exactly what he wanted, that's fine. So the Piskei Tshuva says, well, why don't I do two things? Let's say the husband can't make it to where the get is needs to be, so he'll send a shliach to tell a sofer with a letter from himself. So now you have two tzivuy habaal. One is the tzivuy habaal al yedei shliach, and the other is through writing. So this way, the shliach will show up in the bezdin and say, "Here's the letter that appoints you to write the get, which is ksav, which as we saw is a machlokes rishonim. And two, here's my verbal conveyance of his will." And then he said, "B'makom igon, that's what we do. We'll tell you to do both." In number 14, Rav Elimelech Shechter, I did put a resh there originally because he, you know, this is Rav Shechter, current Rav Shechter's father, who was one of the leaders in Gittin and Chalitza in North America, before he passed away, he wrote one of the very early articles on this topic. And he said, he said, you know what? I think that when it comes to a phone, the Ramban and the Ra'ah are not going to argue. I don't think anybody, I don't think even the Ramban who said you need to hear the husband talking meant you need to hear his voice in his presence. Even the Ramban and the who seems like he's saying a formal statement isn't. He just wants direct instruction to the sofer and the witnesses. They're hearing it. It's not. This is not a formal question. His voice. It's do they hear a direct expression of his will? The gamlo nizgar b'shem makom shabal tzarich lirosam. No one ever said that the husband has to see them. Adarabah. First, but masnizin. There's an explicit mishnah in Gittin. As follows, the Mishay Mushlach Babar, Vamar Kol Shameas Kolo Yichtov Getli Ishto, Harel Yichtov Yitnu. Let's say a husband was thrown into jail by the non-Jewish authorities. Now, jail in the time of the Gemara was a pit in the ground. So he knew he was there for life until he died, right? And he didn't know how long he'd be there. So he wanted to give his wife a get so she'd be free. So he yells out, anybody who hears my voice, write a get. Now, Lacha, is there allowed to go write a get? So he says, what do you see from here? You see that no one ever thought they needed to actually be in the same room, and he had to hear his voice directly, and they had to see each other. It's about direct command. And therefore, even if he's sitting in a pit and they don't see him, that doesn't matter. And, you know, as we know, in a pit, in Hilchos Shofar, you aren't Yotze if you hear a shofar from someone blowing in a pit because you hear an echo. But who cares if you hear the guy's echo? This isn't a formal question of kol. It's a question of direct instruction. And you got it. The Gemara there says you need to see a shadow of a shadow of the person. Meaning you need to somehow be able to figure out there's a human being in there. Because you're worried it might be a demon. Whatever that means. Okay. But here there's no chash that the demon is phoning you. They telephone. Everyone should agree that phones solve the problem. So here, and he said he asked both Rabbi Soloveitchik and Moshe Feinstein, and they both said, yeah, you're right. According to everybody, a phone solves all problems. About the same time that this was asked, he was one of, Rav Elimelech Schechter was one of the early people to ask in America. In Canada, Ray Felder wrote a tshuva in Nachlat Tzvi, and he said, yeah, he brought the exact same proof. I felt like I had to put Ray Felder because, but he's not, I don't have him in a way that I can copy and paste. So it's, so what I did was I put number 15, but Ray Felder said, yeah, the exact same thing, exactly, same proof. Said, it's clear, Tzivu Yabal is about direct instruction, and therefore a phone solves these problems, right? It's page 213 to 218 in Nachlat Tzvi. But Rabbi Felder didn't suffice with that. He said, okay, well, let me write a letter to Rabbi Lazar Waldenberg, because what he saw was a Rosh HaBezdin in Yerushalayim. And let's see what he thinks. So, as I gave you in 15, the Tzitzel Yezer responded, and this tshuva is printed in Nachlat Tzvi as confirmation of Rabbi Felder's shita, and he said, from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Tivnevi Sikonem, blah, 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 El Hod Kvod Yedidi Nechman Harav Hagon HaNa'ale, Chaver, U something, B'something, B'chdushei Torah, B'chulei, right? Moreno Harav, Gdalia Felder Shlita, Rav DeBeis Nakneses, Shomer Shabbos, Toronto, Canada. Good, right here. We've got it, right? I bolded it, right? Okay, B'Ava, B'Kavod, I don't even know what the one before that stands for. Something, kavod tarasa, something. Kavod yikras mechtavo kibalti vini lashiv lashilasu lemaisa. And he said, I agree. Hare daya pshuti leilagon bal shari daya shemeshal akir derech telephone and zakol betvayir ayin dazaya shalos mochalze. Said, you're right. You're absolutely right. And the shari daya said it as well. You have to get over the hitch of certifying that the person's actually hearing it, right? You need to know that this is the husband, but assuming you can solve that problem, it's fine. Where you have to make sure that there's no chance of subterfuge. We had the rebar of Vurla Bezdin. The court has to understand this for sure. But he notes that the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, who I think, was actually the first person to ever deal with the Shaila, said it's not true. Now, there is actually a machlokes about what the Beis Yitzchak said. The Tzitz Eliezer thinks one thing, and the Minchas Asher, and I learned this with Jeffrey on Thursday, thinks the opposite. He says, Ibrad, Midibri Sefer, should Beis Yitzchak, Nira Muchach, that he suffered Lomahan immunity so far, like the telephone. The Beis Yitzchak seems to think you can't use a phone. Because he seems to think that no, you need to hear the guy's voice. It's a formal halacha. Lo Nikar Tvius, Eina Dekala, and you cannot believe. Right? You can't just say, oh, I recognize the voice. Telephone. And not like those who think the Beis Yitzchak thinks that you can't do it, but Minchas Asher points out the Beis Yitzchak does seem to say that. So it's a big machlokes. The first Jew on the topic, no one can agree on whether the Beis Yitzchak said it's good or not good, right? But there's this machlokes, and if you look, I gave you in 16, that Mishnah Halachos and Menashe Klein, even if the Beis Yitzchak didn't say it, Menashe Klein did take this position and say that no, there Shlich Tzivui Habal actually has a formal component. And he says, "Amnam ki chen nirofi is daiti pasho di efshal es manash lecha de telephone chal. You can't use a telephone at all. Shari kvar rechdi v'kamim b'komus shomei kol al telephone. Ain't a kol kol shom medaber. It's not the speaker. El kol shom medaber nifsek shavar b'telephone vaz miad b'ofen mikani ay de siyua shel zera machashmal v'kamim gormim nozar kol chadash k'tat domel kol medaber. But through." Right, this is always rabbis who don't really understand what's going on. He's like, something electric and mechanical creates a new voice that sounds like the guy's voice. That's pachor yoter correct, you know, whatever the details. All right, point is, it's not his voice. And that's why you can't be yotzei mitzvos through a telephone. Well, Shabbos, there are different types of Shabbos microphones.
Yeah,
but
they said the voice is not pure voice of the person.
Well, in general, it's a question about microphones, but we're going to deal with that in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. I guess I could have reorganized it all, but yeah, I mean, the microphone is part of this machlokes. He, as you can see, is taking a position on this. And I gave you again the summary in 17. The Rejachter said, rabbinic authorities have rigorously debated this issue, but no consensus has emerged. And somebody didn't rule leniently if there is no alternative, but others do not. The debate is focused primarily on two issues. First, does an appointment of a scribe and witnesses via telephone satisfy Ramban's requirement that the husband appoint a scribe and witnesses directly? Second, can the husband's speech on telephone be properly identified? So Yitzchak Shmelkes, Beis Yitzchak, rules that an appointment issued via telephone is invalid. Again, we saw there's machlokas whether Beis Yitzchak said it was valid or invalid. Since the scribe and the witness have not heard the actual voice of the husband, most authorities agree that Halacha does not recognize an electronically transmitted voice that would cover the actual voice of the speakers. Most of the authorities, on the other hand, do not believe that Ramban requires the scribe and the witnesses to hear the actual voice of the husband. Rather, they believe that Ramban requires direct communication between the husband and the scribe and the witnesses, which is accomplished when an appointment is issued via telephone. Generally speaking, those authorities who do not permit an authorization to be executed via telephone have not accepted Shmelkes' argument. Instead, they rule stringently because an authorization to because an individual cannot be properly identified via telephone, and because a fraud is relatively easy to penetrate to perpetrate via telephone. The authorities who rule leniently believe the husband may be identified by means of voice recognition. They note that the Gemara recognizes the viability of voice recognition. They also cite the halacha that in cases of very urgent need, a get may be written even if the parties have not been properly identified. And Rav Ezer Basri, the Bezin of Yerushalayim, informed this author that his Bezin occasionally execute a get with a husband issues appointment both via telephone and in writing. So, step two, right? We started with writing, now we came to phone, and here we see that the poskim basically divide into three groups. Poskim who think phones are fine. Poskim who think phones are not fine because you Poskim who think phones are fine because you just need direct instruction, you don't need formal voice. Poskim who think it doesn't work because you need formal voice. And poskim who say it would be good because you don't need formal voice if you could ensure that there was no corruption and no subterfuge. And here's where video conferencing came in, because if you think that you need a formal voice, so video conference might not help you. But if you, in principle, accept Tzivui HaBaal via phone, but you're worried that he might trick you, well, video conference makes things better because now you can see him. Now, who was the first person to deal with the question of video conferencing? So ironically, it was, again, the Beis Yitzchak, writing in the end of the 19th century. He didn't have video conferencing, but he did, you know, and this is where you know you're living in a technologically advanced age, right? He knew already at the end of the 19th century that one day there would be video conferencing. He didn't have it, but he said that if this happens, here's my position, right? I'm telling you in advance. Now that, to be fair, is not so surprising. Like, he lived 100 years ago. He had seen that in relatively short order there was the telegraph and there was the telephone. So that's not so surprising. I think we mentioned this a few months ago. The most surprising of this is the Meiri's claim about cloning. With the Meiri writing in the 13th century, writes out of nowhere that anything that people can manage to do through science is not considered magic. For example, when one day, as we know is scientifically possible, people will be able to create human beings without the sexual act, that will not be considered magic and will be permitted. Right? Writing 700 years ago, he writes this. How he knew that we would be cloning one day, I have no idea. But every so often, Poskim, you know, entertain these things. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shmalkus was actually the first person. He said, what about video conferencing? So the Tzitzel Ezer quotes him. In 18, he says, right, he understands that the Beis Yitzchak would not like it. Most of it because of Jelajon, because this is his language. Vim Yatzaila Paul Michonat Telefot O Telescope. Asher Yuchalir Ot Gam Tirat Hamid Daber Ayide Photographia. He says it might be easier. Now, how do you read it might be easier? So the way the Tzitzel Ezer takes that is, there's more room to be megel, but I still wouldn't do it. Right? That's how he reads it. But the Tzitzel Ezer himself, right, says, and hey, achish lo der dim kena davar yitzalana l'chor mizeh gamzot. He said, I don't like this. You know why? Because, well, you know, I'll say this outside. He said, you know why? I don't like this because what would happen if the sofer, Nagid, had a hearing aid? Are you really so convinced that you need a formal voice that a sofer with a hearing aid wouldn't be a good sofer, because he can never hear the voice of the Baal directly? He's hearing it through a hearing aid. It can't be. He said, don't tell that it's implausible to say that the halacha of Tzivui HaBaal is about hearing the formal voice. Because he said, do you know how many sofrim I've seen who are deaf? And he says, no one ever challenged that. But if you really believed it was a formal voice, so why are you handling these shilas of phones and video conferencing? Tell me that a sofer can't be a sofer if he has to hear the Tzivui HaBaal through a hearing aid. He said, maybe you'll tell me that it's different because the guy also sees the guy's mouth moving, so it's some combination, right? He hears something, and he's not totally deaf, and he's hearing the mouth moving, and he's hearing his head, you know, he's nodding his head, so you're being... He said, maybe, right? He said, maybe, but no one ever said that. He said, so I think, right, the Sicilian said, I think personally that it's not true. He thinks that it should be fine. That a phone should be fine, and therefore a phone should be fine. Kal vachomer, a video conference should be fine. So la halacha. So Reb Jachter, based on this, in number 19, wrote an article arguing that, well, we should just say, look, because we have a lot of these cases, we really do, where for whatever reason the husband doesn't want to show up in Beis Din. And what do we have to do? We have to, right, get him to issue a command, to write the get, to free his wife. So why don't we just say, get on Skype, talk to the Beis Din, right? We'd solve so many problems. So he writes as follows in 19. He says, although no consensus has emerged regarding issues appointing an appointment via telephone, this author believes that it is possible that Poskim might permit the issuance of appointments of a scribe and witnesses via video teleconference. Interesting, Schmelkes anticipated the invention of video conferencing and indicated that if such an invention arose, it could not be used for husband appointment of a scribe and witnesses. Schmelkes believes Rambanz requires hearing the actual voice of the husband and not an electronically transmitted voice. When Schmelkes' response was mentioned to Rav Nechemya Goldberg of the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, the latter pointed out that Tosfos and Gittin explained why a husband who is unable to speak is able to appoint a scribe and witness by nodding his head. Since we know what the husband wishes, we do not require the scribe and witness to hear his voice. Tosfos's comments appear to clearly disprove Schmelkes' contention that the scribe and witness might hear the actual voice of the husband. He said, the fact that we accept a get based on the deaf mute nodding his head tells you it's not about voice. It's not about voice. It's about being sure that the husband wants it. And Rav Goldberg also pointed out the Chazon Ish, Moshe Feinstein, interpreted Rabban's position very different than Schmelkes. Chazon Ish writes that Ramban requires that the will of the husband and the will of the scribe and witnesses should be unified in one moment. The Chazon Ish thinks it's not about voice, it's about the not just direct knowledge, but simultaneous knowledge. Right? There needs to be a meeting of the minds, right, in an actual moment in time between the husband and the sofer and the edim. But if that's the case, he says, well, a video conference, if anything, does that. Because sure, you're not in the same room, but there's a meeting of minds. You're actually, right, looking them in the eye, and you're saying, I want you to write a get. So sure, you're not in the same room, but if Tzivui Habal is about this meeting of the minds, so they are. Ramoshe Feinstein, he notes, as we said before, and this is what I said we would get back to it, skipping to the next paragraph, Ramoshe Feinstein asserts, so if you remember, Ramoshe said, what's the reason that we have all these super requirements by Tzivui Habal? Just because because the witnesses and the sofer aren't bound by the rules of Eidos, and therefore they don't have to believe the shliach who tells them that the husband wants to get it, and therefore they need to hear it directly from the husband. But if all of Tzivui Habal is just about verification, so video conference solves that problem also. So whether you think that Tzivui Habal is about direct instruction, or you think like the Chazon Ish, it's about this meeting of the minds, or you think about Ramoshe, like Ramoshe, that it's about the sofer and the edim knowing absolutely on their own the husband has written a get. A video conference should solve all the problems we had with a written get, right, with a written instruction, with video, with phones, right? All those things should dissipate once you have a video conference. Rav Goldberg, if you skip to the end of the page here, Rav Goldberg offered the following analogy to illustrate that the scribe and witnesses are not required to hear the actual voice of the husband. I put that in, what's it called, in justify. Sometimes that comes out weird. A husband is standing a great distance from the scribe and witnesses. So when he gives his orders, they only see his lips moving, not hear his voice. If the scribe and witnesses are able to read lips of the husband, then they may write and sign a get. He said, this is no worse than lip reading, because they're certain of the husband's will, and that the get is valid, that's clearly fine, since the husband communicated his wishes by an action of his body. Similarly, when a husband appoints a scribe and witnesses via video teleconference, they're aware that he appointed them by an action of his body, and the get may be written and signed, even though they've not heard the actual voice of the husband. I brought already the Tzitzit Yezer in terms of hearing aids who try to prove this point that way. And then he adds, the opinion of the Ara and the Ran, who ruled the husband may make an appointment without the presence of the scribe and witnesses, should also be considered, right, as factors to accept an appointment via video conference. Right? We saw the Ra'a and the Ran think that you actually are allowed to send a shliach. So even though we don't accept this as normative, it's definitely a sniff lahakel, video conference is no worse. He said, and then he continues next paragraph, I'll say this outside, he said the main concern of people with a telephone was fraud, but, right, on sophisticated, at least video conferencing, is very hard, right? If you could set up an authenticated line, right, where it's very hard to falsify it. It's true, right, he said you could counter that it's possible to perpetrate fraud by video conference, so you could say, okay, but you know there has to be an end to it, right? You can forge passports and driver's licenses, but when people show up to Beis Din and try to prove that they are who they are, so that Beis Din accepts them, at some point we believe them. So how much do you need to do, right? You know, is a video conference worse than the passport and the driver's license? Like, at some point you can you know there's a at some point. Right, you have to draw a line. So, an addendum for you look at the bolded. He said, "Okay, since he first published my proposal regarding the use of video conference for a get, post-game have a mixed reaction." So Rav Zalman and Chemia Goldberg, Rav Herschel Schechter, Rav Mordechai Willig support the idea. Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, Rav J. David Bleich, and Elazar Meir Teitz reject the proposal. Accordingly, this proposal cannot be implemented as no rabbinical consensus has emerged regarding this issue. Perhaps it can be relied upon in a situation where it's highly doubtful whether a get is necessary, such as a couple was married only in a civil ceremony and never had a chuppah. Those who rule strictly are concerned that the Vilna teleconference appointment is unacceptable, according to the Ramban, and still has potential for fraud. So what do Bati Dinim do? So I emailed the Beis Din of America, because I have all their emails. I didn't know who to email at the Toronto Beis Din. I have no idea. I don't have in my back. What? I know, but like I don't have Ryok's email. Like I don't, you know, and I don't just routinely call up Ryok. Like I don't know. But the Beis Din of America, that's easier. So Rav Michal Zilberman got back to me and said, look, in the end of the day, most of the posts can accept video conference. Also accepted phone. And as I mentioned before, sometimes, right, like the guy stuck in Siberia, you might not have a Beis Din there. He might just need to call up the Beis Din and say, write a get for my wife. But a lot of times what you're talking about is if a husband doesn't want to travel. So what we often do is we set up an ad hoc Beis Din, is we tell the local rabbi to go to his house, bring two other people with him, and they call up the Beis Din. So once you have the ad hoc Beis Din, so as we saw, part of the problem is the confirmation problem. But if you send the ad hoc Beis Din, right, so they can act to confirm the husband's identity. And once you need that, what does a video conference add to a phone, right? Because if you have a phone, what did you add? Rabbi Shlomo Weissman, who's the director of the Beis Din, this is from his email. I copied and pasted it so I wouldn't, you know, twist it at all. He said, in terms of our actual practice, so what do they do? He said, when we do a get through Kisvu Tenu, right, meaning we're getting him to, the husband doesn't want to show up, so what do? We arrange a phone conference to supplement the written and verbal authorization. We throw in all, put everything together. We tell him to send a letter, so we add ksiva. We tell him to do the phone, right? And we tell him to tell a local ad hoc Beis Din. We do all three things, right? Because if we can, why not? Says, i.e., the husband appears before a Beis Din and verbally authorizes the sofer and edim to write the sign again. And he also signs a written authorization in front of the Beis Din, and the sofer and the edim are also on the phone and receive his verbal authorization directly by phone. We do not write a get that is authorized solely by phone or video conference, although my sense, and this is the conclusion Ezra Jachter as well, my sense is that b'makom igun gadol, where there's absolutely no other alternative, right? Like the guy who is, I don't know, kidnapped by Hamas and they'll let him Skype, right? They'll let him talk to his wife, but they're never letting him out. And they'll never tell you whether he's killed or not, right? And they'll never give you the body. He thinks that b'makom igun gadol, we would accept this. Fundamentally, we accept this argument if it's just the case of the non-religious husband who doesn't want to show up in Beis Din, but he'll be open to three rabbis showing up at his house and telling him, tell these people you want to get, write a letter, write an email, whatever it is, right? Pick up the phone, do all those things. So then why not do that? And video conference at that point doesn't add much to it. But if it was really, really pressing, so we would probably even be makil by phone. As we saw, we're even makil b'shas igun by writing, right? We would almost definitely be makil by igun gadol by phone, right? And by video conference, where you add the problem that we've solved a lot, where you add the fact that we've solved a lot of the authorization issues and the fraud issues, definitely makom igun gadol, people, most postkim would accept it, though we saw some wouldn't. So you see here, right, this development of how, you know, communication technology has solved what, in many ways, or alleviated, or at least lessened the problem in Gittin that, you know, for a long time was really, really severe. Once someone traveled, if he was lost and he couldn't communicate that, right, his wife was an aguna. And now, because of the speed of the mail, which is, you know, sort of the first level of communication of writing, and then phones, and then video conference, we've slowly solved both the directness problems of Tzivui Habal and the confirmation problems of Tzivui Habal. In number 20 to 26, I gave you the technical things, but we don't have time now, of exactly how much verification do we need to prove the identity of the husband and the like, which we've come to a few times, and we won't get a chance to actually get into the sources. But as communication technology has gotten better, we've come to create better and better reasons to be makil, especially in cases of igun. And you see, like, I think this is just a fascinating example, and it does happen very much l'maisa, where communication technology has really provided a solution for what has been a thorny problem for hundreds of years, but has slowly alleviated all the concerns that people had by allowing us to communicate in a much more direct way, thereby solving this issue of Tzivui HaBaal and preventing cases of Agunot that in the past may have trapped the wife as an Aguna for life. Okay, so that's